Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love toward us and all of mankind, and the gift of Thy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how He came to earth to represent Your teaching and Your righteousness and Your truth, and to teach us and to show us what to teach others as we obey it and as we live for Thee from day to day. We thank Thee, Father, for this good congregation, for the heritage of this congregation who through the years have faithfully served and faithfully helped those who were in times of need, orphans and widows and the like, as well as missionaries coming and going throughout the world to spread Thy cause. What a blessing it is to be associated with this congregation and the work that they have tried to do throughout the years. Help us to remember the loved ones that have come and gone before us, and to follow the example of their lives in that way that Thou would have us to do. We thank Thee, Father, that we live in America. We live with a way of freedom to choose and to do the things that we do. And we're prayerful that our court systems, as well as those in the times of authority, will recognize that there's a better way of going according to the Constitution and Declaration of Independence that was set up for this nation. And that as a result of that, that mankind can be better rather than more dependent and more trusting of mankind rather than trusting of Thee. Help us to be people who love Thee enough to spread Thy word to others round about us and talk about those things that are righteous and good in Thy holy word. Thank Thee for the New Testament, the system of salvation of Jesus, and the way that He has taught us to live and to worship Thee, as well as to save others from their sins. We pray for that we will teach in such a way that it will be heard, and that through our patient and gentle ways of doing things, that we'll be able to teach family as well as friends and neighbors the gospel message of our Lord. Be with us in every way. Thank You for hearing us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be seated. Preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 383. 383. We'll sing 2, 3, and then 1. May we keep in memory all that Thou hast said. May we
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to Thee for Your Son and His body that was given in our stead upon that cross. As we partake of this bread, let us be thinking of that sacrifice. Pray that we can do so in a manner pleasing to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank Thee, Father, for Your Son and the blood that He shed when He gave up His life for us on that cross. Thank You for His life. Pray that You will watch over us and pray that we can partake in a manner pleasing to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Opportunity to give. Thank You, Father, for all the work You give us to do. Thank You for watching over us and caring for us.
We have 21 present this morning. Today is July 26, 2020 for dating purposes. Let's mark our song books at number 682. 682 will be a song of invitation after our lesson this morning. Once you've marked that, let's turn to number 433. 433.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Pure in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly. Be Thou my friend and guide. Let me with Thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I Thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Thank you.
Last week we were taking a look at our lives as we live it in the flesh, living in a way that we can be faithfully pleasing to God. And the idea of it being a struggle in life is set up by Jesus. And in John chapter 14, he says this to us today. And we'll be looking at some passages in the book of John today. And so if you would, note that particular thing in John chapter 14. To you that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice what he says here in this regard. If you're troubled, what were they troubled about? Well, Jesus was going to tell them and noted to them that he would not always be on this earth with them. That he was going back to be with the Father in heaven. That he was going to, as he says in this chapter, send them another Paraclete, another Comforter, so he would guide them into the remembrance of the things that he had taught them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He was speaking regarding the Heavenly Father that they had so honored through the years, and their elders had taught them about the God, the Heavenly Father. And Jesus came to represent the Heavenly Father as his Son. He came to represent the way of the Father to all of them. They seemingly could not conceive of the idea that Jesus would be leaving them. And yet his kingdom would be here. They could be members of the kingdom, and they were part of that way of relationship with him when he was gone away. All the kingships that they understood were kings here on earth. And they were kings in kingdoms with thrones and with people of armies under them and people subject to them. And that was the view that they had regarding the kingdom of God. That it was a physical kingdom. And the truth of the matter was, Jesus wanted them to understand that what he was doing with them was from the Heavenly Father, and that it's a spiritual walk that we have for you now. And so he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comfort, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me. Behold, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, the one of Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? You see the idea? If you're present with us and showing us, everybody else will be able to see at the same time. But not spiritually speaking. Only those who would follow his will be that way. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 43, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we, the Father and the Son, will come and make our abode with him. Do you want the Father and the Son living in your spiritual walk of life? If you will love me and keep my words, my Father will love him. And we, the Father and the Son, will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. This Bible that we have right here that we're reading from was written by the Holy Spirit. You use some men to write it in earthly form. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us that the Spirit of God was the one who authored it. He wrote it. He wrote the material. He gave us what the Father wanted us to, wanted him to say. And so it is that he lives there. Now notice what else he will leave with us. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Now hold just a second. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. When they had peace, how did it come about? Well, an earthly way was that there wouldn't be any war and conflict around us. Earthly way, peace would be when somebody says, I love you, I care for you, and give you a nice gift and a nice good deed and a pat you on the back. That's the kind of physical way of life that's in home and marriage and that life. How is it the case that Jesus said, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. With Jesus' peace, that kind of a peace that is the outward, physical way of peace, or was it deeper? You'll see that he says that before this chapter ends. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before, it came to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. And then he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. When we as spiritually minded people become clean in the sight of God, it's because the word of God has been allowed to come into our hearts and minds, and we become obedient to the Lord. When we came forward and confessed our faith in Christ, and we found ourselves being taken back and reclothed, perhaps in some baptismal garments, and into the water we went with the gospel preacher who was there at the time, be it a pond that was out here in earlier days or a baptistry located here in the building at the time. When we physically are lowered into that water, what happens to us? We get wet. We get plunged, we get buried. Because our head goes down, all that goes, we're down. Then we're raised. Now, Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 6, we were raised to walk in newness of life. Now, we're fixing to walk out of that baptistry. We're fixing to walk back and dry off. We're fixing to reclothe ourselves and walk out of the building, out of the pond, out of the way, into the world. What do we show then? What's different about us if in our heart we had no change to take place? If we didn't think about the Lord's forgiveness and the Lord's blessing to us and how thankful we are, bringing a tear to our eyes that he would forgive us of our mistakes and wrongdoing, sins, that we would have now freedom from them, rescued from them. If we didn't think about that wonderful spiritual blessing that came to our soul, would we understand it any better than these disciples did when he said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, the Father. Believe also in me, the Son. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. If it were not so, the real form in the Greek text, I understand, is in the question form. Would I have told you? Would I have told you that it is so? Would I have deceived you in believing that there's a place for you? And of course, they knew Jesus was not there to deceive them and hurt them, give them a hope of something that was not true. They understood that principle. Would I have told you this? I go to prepare a place for you. Would we understand it any better than these apostles of the Lord right here, who were troubled when he said, I go? How is it that you're going to go? And yet, you will set up a kingdom here. How is that the case? It's through the spiritual walk that you would do, and the spiritual teaching you would tell others, and that they will obey. And in that spiritual way, my Father and I will come to you, and we will live in your life. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. Because after all, they're the words of the Father that I'm speaking to you. The Father and the Son and this Holy Spirit. He said back in John 10 at verse 30, I and my Father are one. He didn't mean that there was only one person there. He was the Son. He was the personage of the Son. But his Father and he were one in the sense of what they talked, in the sense of how they lived. And his teaching to the people was of the Father's word. My Father will love him because he obeys my word. And we, the Father and the Son, will come unto that man. And we will abide with him. We'll live in his life. Now, when we sin, when we do wrongs that after, we didn't do it perfectly after we were baptized into Christ. We got into some groups of people and we used words that they used. And we may have done that way. We may have gotten into things that we were part of practicing before, that we wanted remission of, we wanted forgiveness for. And we've got that forgiveness being buried with him in baptism into his death and raised to walk a new life. But we didn't live up to it. What does John tell us about that? 1 John 3:1, he tells us plainly. In 1 John 2:9, very plainly. If we confess our sins. Who are these people there in 1 John 1 and 2? They're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Plainly says that. They're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now, since they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son, what have they done? They've sinned. They've missed the mark. They've misapplied it. They've done wrong. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The unrighteous thinking I was doing and unrighteous things I was listening to, the unrighteous deeds that were being seen in the movie, and I wanted to practice that out here. Before I knew it, I'd done what I ought not to be doing. What can I do? To maintain that he continues to abide with me. He and his Father continue to abide with me. And I have some strength that I didn't know I had. And they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Not only that, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All those people we were around, all those words that we heard, all those deeds that were being done around us, all those vulgar things of movies and films that were there. What has happened? I have recognized more and more that they are not the things to live by. These are not the things to be practiced. These are the things that hurt my friends, hurt me, my family, hurt all of us. And I can be forgiven by God, and he will cleanse me from unrighteousness. He'll begin a cleansing process of those things that I was thinking, those deeds I was thinking about doing, those practices I was thinking about doing, unrighteous things. Because he cleansed me with the blood of his Son, baptized in Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7 tells us that it is in him that we have that blood to be applied. And what does he do for us when we confess our sins? He cleanses us. How does he cleanse us? There's only one cleansing element that the Lord revealed in his word that he has to cleanse us of sin. The blood of his Son. Not the blood that's the physical blood of life, but the meaning of that blood, the meaning of that blood that you've shed is in the heart of God, who loved his Son and gave him a name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus. Every tongue, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that he is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. He wanted that to happen, and so that we could be free from the strain of life, free from the load of sin in life. And so it is that we now can be with Him eternally. Because when life is over, that's what's going to take place. Now, I mentioned about other passages we would look at in John. I'm going to close with John chapter 3 now. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness, John said, that I am not the Christ, but I was sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set him to his seal, that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What a blessing it is to have the Lord from heaven and the Word from heaven to direct our daily walk of life. What a blessing it is and a comfort it is. It's a way of life that you and I can have and be a part of. And as we sing this song together today, is there anyone who does? Who needs to obey this gospel of Jesus Christ? Be free from the past and rewarded with this new walk of life. That is a walk by the words of the Lord, and the words of his way are from heaven. No man can speak anything except it be given him from heaven. That's the place it came from. What a blessing. You're subject to Jesus' invitation as we stand together and sing today. Would you not come and obey him as we stand together?
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine name.
keep you all this week of time. May you be free from the virus and ways and go on with life from day to day. Look forward to seeing you tonight, possibly at 6. God bless you.
Let's turn to number
sins and watch over the care for us if we know.